This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
And I'm Ryan Zook.
Michigan is headed to the Frozen Four. We break down the Wolverines' two wins over the weekend and what to expect in Tampa. That and more, maybe, coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, Ryan, we're talking here Monday morning, March 27th. And Michigan's going back to the Frozen Four for the second year in a row. You know, we'll talk about who they'll be playing and things like that, but let's talk about first what happened over the weekend as far as their two victories. Started with a just absolute blowout win over Colgate on Friday night, and you know, continued with Sunday's, you know, thrilling overtime victory, you know, over Penn State to get to the Frozen Four. So let's start with Friday's game. Kind of what happened in that one? How was Michigan so dominant?
Well, it looks like they were like when a team from the top league in my beer league would play like the team in the bottom tier of the other beer leagues. Like it was just, I mean, I knew going in that, I mean, Michigan was clearly the more talented team, and Colgate kind of had a little bit of a magical run in their conference tournament to earn an at-large bid, and they just didn't have the talent to match up against Michigan. But like, I mean, 11 goals, like they're the one thing that they are pretty good at is playing pretty sound defensively. And they have a very solid goalie who's a Red Wings draft pick. And he just got lit up on Friday and got pulled not even early. Like, I think he gave up, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, or 8 before getting pulled, and then ended up coming back into the game when Michigan continued to pour it on. So just a complete dominating effort. Outshot them 52-26, and literally they were able to play all four lines once they got up. I mean, seven other goals came in the last 13 minutes of the second period. So just absolute domination in that second period, and just continued to pour it on. So yeah, I mean, it was unexpected. I mean, that was the most goals scored in an NCAA tournament game since 1961. So But the only thing that was a little bit worrisome is I mean, Colgate really didn't have much offensive zone time, but they did have especially early on, Michigan gave up a couple odd man rushes. And it's like, well, if Colgate capitalizes on one or two of those, it's maybe a different game. But other than that, I mean, just a really solid effort all around. All four lines were going. And it's like, all right, the story of the first round was the Big Ten. I mean, all four Big Ten teams that made to the tournament won by at least 7 goals. So it's like, what are we in for Michigan and Penn State? I mean, they know each other well. Penn State won their opener against Michigan Tech 8-0, which was kind of a shocker there because Michigan Tech is also one of the best defensive teams in the country. Did not see that one coming. And Penn State hadn't played in 3 weeks. Like, people forget they were eliminated in the quarterfinals of Big Ten in the Big Ten tournament. And because of the way the Big Ten does their tournament, there's 3 weeks off between the quarterfinals and the NCAA tournament. I mean, typically if you're losing the quarterfinals, it's rare that I guess you're making it to the NCAA tournament. But I mean, Penn State still had a really good season, still was the number two seed. So they didn't show any rust against the Huskies. And of course, on Sunday, goals are scored until 39 minutes in.
All right. Yes. We'll get to that game, but back to the, to Friday. I mean, you kind of hinted at this in your game story that, you know, Michigan was up 8-1, you know, then there's that penalty that leads to an ejection. And it almost seemed like Michigan, you know, had called off the dogs a little bit. And then I was like, all right, then you're going to do that. Like, here we go, and score three more goals on top of that. Is that like fair to say? Maybe that's what happened.
Oh yeah, that's 100% what happened. I mean, because yeah, like when you start throwing, I mean, the telecast didn't really show what happened, but I think it was a spearing collar butt end, which is definitely a no-no in hockey. And you could tell, like, I mean, they scored two goals in the first minute of the 5-minute power play, and it's like, all right, you're up 10-1. Maybe put in some guys that aren't used to getting a lot of power play time, or put in the fourth line, give them some power play time. I mean, and they just continued to trot out their number one and number two power play units for basically the whole 5 minutes, and ended up getting another one too. So you could tell Michigan's coaches were not probably happy with that play, and were like, all right, if you're going to do that, we're going to keep our guys out there and keep pouring it on. And they did. It was a complete dominating effort. It would have been interesting to see if Portillo could have maybe got a shutout. It was that bid was ended early in the third period. But other than that, it was a well-oiled machine for the Wolverines in their opener, just picking up right where they left off in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, no, I mean, I realize this isn't, you know, an NFL broadcast where anything that happens within like several miles of the stadium would be caught on camera, but like it seems strange that something happening like somewhere on the ice, they wouldn't have a camera on, you know, every portion of the ice at all times. But so
yeah, even the broadcast crew didn't even like, we're broadcasting, how do we not have an angle to see it? So they're just speculating on like, oh yeah, it's taking this long, maybe it won't be a major, but we don't know, we didn't see it. So
right,
yeah, kind of strange to play there. But yeah, I mean, if the refs must have saw some, had some sort of angle, because they reviewed it and determined that it was a 5-minute major. Unfortunately, maybe the cameras on the broadcast did not get to see it. But yeah, it's this status quo for Michigan games this year. I feel like every game there's a 5-minute major. But yeah, that was not the case on Sunday, which was kind of good because it was a thrilling hockey game.
Right. Yeah. After, yeah, combining for what, 19 goals, you know, in their first game, then, you know, we've got you know, not a goal scored till late in the second period, but Michigan answers to tie it in the third, and then they kind of strike very quickly. All right, you know, you're not even settled into overtime, and they win it. Yeah, I guess what was the key, you know, in this game?
Yeah, I mean, Michigan was playing well in the first two periods. I thought they controlled play and had the better of possession time and the better looks. And it just was a matter of time. And as long as Michigan stayed within one in that third period, you just kind of had that feeling like, all right, they're going to get at least one. Like, they had only been shut out one time all year. Of course, it was against Penn State back in November. But I mean, this is the top ranked offense in the country. They're not going to be held off the score sheet all game. And once they got that second power play in the third period, right after a previous one, it's just like, all right, like this just feels like the time that they're going to break through. And of course, it was freshman phenom Adam Fantilli, the nation's leading scorer, who tied it going short side on a rebound chance. And even then, it's like, all right, I mean, Michigan's probably going to have the momentum here, and maybe they'll win in regulation. But after that, is I think that's when Penn State played their best hockey of the game. I mean, they had a strong push in the last 10 minutes. Really, they hadn't had much sustained ozone time up until that point. But I mean, they had some really good looks in the last 10 minutes, and Eric Portillo had to be sharp and to even force overtime. And yeah, like you said, it only took 52 seconds into OT for Matty Samuskevich to be the hero. And it was a high end wrist shot, but it was really just a well executed play all around. I mean, the Nittany Lions had plenty of guys back. But it was good, some good center lane drive there by Seamus Casey, and created a little bit of space for Samuskevich, and he made no mistake going blocker side. And yeah, just like that, Michigan's on to Tampa. And I mean, going into the game, I figured the difference would probably be the high end talent between Michigan, or the discrepancy between Michigan and Penn State. Penn State has the experience factor, has the age factor, but they don't have any high end talent NHL prospects like Michigan does. And you could see that on that Samuskevich shot. I mean, that was just an unbelievable release. I mean, we've seen that from him all year. He has 20 goals. He's a first round pick, just an elite shot to move on or send the Wolverines back to the Frozen Four for a second straight year.
Yeah. So they'll play Quinnipiac. And I love that because it gets you to try to say Quinnipiac as many times as possible. You know, you handle the Samuskeviches of the world. I got the team names down. But yeah, it's not till April 6th, like not, you know, a week from this Thursday. It's always been like that, yes, where they
They always take a break off because they don't want to kind of clash with the basketball Final Four. So it makes sense. And yeah, I mean, it's just more time for teams to get healthy and prepare for each other too.
Yeah, so, you know, Michigan fans should remember them. This is who, you know, Michigan beat to get to the Frozen Four last year. I looked, Quinnipiac was 1-2 actually against the Colgate team that Michigan, you know, crushed, you know, to start this tournament, including, you know, losing to them in their, you know, conference tournament. But still, they're 32-7-3 this year. They were 32-4-3 this year. They were 32-7-3 last year. And I think I saw during the Michigan broadcast something about that. I think that's the most wins, you know, in college hockey, like over this
last two year
period. Yeah. So they've won obviously a little, you know, lower level of competition during the regular season, but yeah, they're here. And I guess, you know, early look at that matchup for Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like interim coach Brandon Arado has said all year. It's like Michigan wants to be able to play against different styles of teams and be able to beat different styles. And again, it's going to be another contrast to Penn State. I mean, Sunday's game was just a fast pace up and down the ice type of game, a kind of a run and gun style. And that's not going to be the case really against Quinnipiac. This is more of a Colgate style, Notre Dame style, trying to defensively sound, neutral zone traps, keeping teams to the outside in the offensive zone. And they've been really successful over the last few years. I mean, they're allowing 1.5 goals per game, which is not surprisingly the best in the country. Their goalie, Yanev Peretz, is a Hobie Baker Award finalist. And so they're a similar mold to Colgate, but with more talent. So yeah, I mean, they have some, their Colin Graf is a Hobie Baker Award finalist. He has over 50 points this year. So yeah, they're a good team. I think it's a good draw for Michigan. I don't think you would, if of all the other Frozen Four teams, Minnesota and BU are on the other side, I think Michigan would have the best chance to beat a Quinnipiac. So, but they are experienced, and yeah, I mean, they're not a blue blood per se, but over the last couple decades or so, they've been one of the most consistent programs out there, and they're still looking for their first ever national championship. So it should be a good one. I mean, if you remember last year, it was kind of a wild game. Michigan was up 4-0, I think, heading in the third period. And all of a sudden, Quinnipiac goes on a quick scoring tear, pulls it to 4-3. And I mean, Michigan was on their heels in that third period before scoring a couple insurance goals late. But it was it got dicey there in a hurry in the third period. So should be a fantastic Frozen Four. It's in Tampa, so you gotta love the warm weather. And unlike the basketball last team standing, this is it's been mostly chalk for three number one seeds and a number two. So. Should be a fun weekend in Tampa.
Yeah, Minnesota and BU, Boston University on the other side of the bracket. So yeah, Michigan, Quinnipiac, Wolverines and Bobcats, you know, somewhat similar there. You know, you must know they played last year. You must know now where Quinnipiac is located at this point. Yes. Should have waited for Aaron to get two guesses at it.
It is in Connecticut, correct?
There you go. That is right, Connecticut. Yeah, they're in the MAC for MAAC for basketball. I know that. But yeah, I mean, you brought up the basketball. I mean, the men's Final Four, I take it you had zero teams in your Final Four.
I had Miami and San Diego State. Like, everyone talks about the 12s over the fives. I did two 12s over fives in the first round, and sure enough, they're in the Frozen Four or in the Final Four. So yeah, yep. It was not good. And then, yeah, I think I might have had No, I didn't have. I had UConn winning the first round, but yeah, I at least had two of the teams losing in the first round. So my bracket is completely torched. I mean, I'm just hoping for. I don't even know who I would be rooting for at this point. Like it's just so strange to see. I mean, maybe FAU. Oh yeah, I definitely had FAU losing to Memphis. So yeah, three teams.
So same. I was texting my brothers and my dad about this yesterday because we talk about, you know, like having the 6-xer on your bracket when you lose your national champion in the first round, as you know you can relate to in recent years. But like there's also some shame and kind of the opposite when these teams that make a long run, you know, you had losing right away. And yes, that was I had you can add UConn to the list for me. They played Iona. I went with my heart on that one. And so, yeah, I had Miami and San Diego State at least winning a game, but not getting out of the first weekend. Right. So either way, didn't expect this, but obviously we're not alone in this one. It's the second highest, I think, seed, you know, total in Final Four history. And yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, you're the basketball guy. I mean, who do you think has the edge then going into this Final Four?
Connecticut, definitely. Yeah. I mean, they're now up to number one on, like, you know, the KenPom rankings. Yeah. They were always, you know, viewed as underseeded from that standpoint, the computer metrics, you know, going in. They got as high as number two in the polls earlier in the year. They started, I think, 16-0. You know, then had a rough stretch. But you know, yeah, they're certainly a talented team, a nice balanced team, like don't really have any weaknesses, good size, and man, they have just ripped. I mean, they ripped through what was viewed as the toughest region going in. Now, you know, it's not like you have to play, you know, every team. Like they didn't, Kansas was really good. Like they didn't have to play them. You can only play your, you know, the four teams that, you know, that you get matched up with, but still just, you know, dominant, you know, 20-point wins kind of throughout this tournament. It's been impressive. So yeah, they're the heavy favorite at this point, but I mean, I don't know, that hasn't meant anything so far in this tournament. So we'll see. It should be fun. And then, yeah, the women's side, I mean, that the Louisville Iowa game was really exciting last night. And so we've got one Big Ten team in already with the chance for two more with, you know, Ohio State playing tonight, and then what's the other one on the other side?
Maryland and South Carolina. Talk about an upset. That would be massive if Maryland could pull that off.
Yeah, absolutely. South Carolina, the heavy favorite in this whole thing, and they would face that winner would face Iowa. But yes, with the men's Big Ten team struggling, the women have sort of picked up the slack in this tournament. But so yeah, well,
LSU still standing too on the women's side, correct?
Yes. Yep. They reached the Final Four as well. So yeah, we've got two teams slotted in. We'll get the other two tonight. So my women's bracket doing much better than my men's. It's often the part. I mean, it's all relative. Like it's a little easier to, you know, to have a higher score on the women's side just by going with a little more chalk. But yeah, we'll see how many Final Four teams I end up with. I still have a shot to get three, but yeah, we'll see. We'll have there wasn't really much else in Michigan sports since our last podcast. We'll continue to monitor, you know, recruiting news and transfer news and things like that with the basketball and football programs, and of course have, you know, plenty more time to kind of preview Michigan's Frozen Four matchup with Quinnipiac April 6th. So yeah, stay tuned for continued coverage on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.